Hey everybody, this episode is brought to you by my friends at ExpressVPN. ExpressVPN.com/Charlie. Secure your device, anonymize your online activity, protect your action online. ExpressVPN.com/Charlie. Help our show out by also helping yourself protect yourself. ExpressVPN.com/Charlie. Hey, everybody. Today on the Charlie Kirk Show, super important episode. Stop what you're doing and listen to every word of this. You are going to love it. But before we get into it, please consider supporting us at charliekirk.com/support. At charliekirk.com/support, that is your portal to help support us, our team, our researchers, our editors, the travel costs, everything around the production of the Charlie Kirk Show. You know, with all the cancellation and all the bad guys coming after people that are trying to tell the truth, when you support us at charliekirk.com/support, you are saying no to cancel culture. You are saying no to the digital assassins. You are saying yes to this program. And if you say to yourself, boy, I want millions of more people to listen to this program, I just wish my kids, my grandkids, my neighbors, and more students would hear what this show has to say, that's where it all is made possible, at charliekirk.com/support. As always, you can email us your questions, freedom@charliekirk.com. Action-packed episode, everybody. Thank you for supporting us. Thank you for emailing us. And also, get involved with Turning Point USA at tpusa.com. Can't forget that. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
So yesterday I was in Seattle, Washington. Many of you might remember some of the drama that's been unfolding in the last week, where I was going to speak at a church, and unfortunately that event got canceled due to Antifa giving threats on how they will mobilize to the streets and use force to try and prevent my speaking in the Seattle metro area. The event was canceled, but I'm happy to report that Antifa lost. As yesterday, we still did two amazing events in the Seattle area. One at Pastor DJ's church, the House Church in Snohomish. Great people up there. We had a packed room, probably well over 1,000 people. And then we went down to Edmonds, Washington, where the final count was nearly another 1,000 people. Two churches, and Antifa did everything they possibly could to try to disrupt us and try and interrupt our plans, but we won and they lost. A great lesson for all of you out there that might be a little bit afraid, a little bit intimidated by the threats of the far left. But understand that their bark is far worse than their bite. That when you stand for truth and you play offense, people will show up and you'll have a wonderful success story to tell. It might not just be about an event, it might be something else. So just happy to say that our visit to Seattle, Washington went very, very well. I want to highlight a very positive story here. You know, as I've been traveling the country, actually it was just in North Dakota like 10 days ago, to Seattle, to Fredericksburg, Texas, to Bastrop, Texas, to Bandera, Texas, people are asking me, Charlie, what do we do? What can we do, everyday people, to make a difference? So there were some elections in Texas this last weekend. They were mostly local elections and municipal elections. Not every single county and city had elections, but many did. One of the topics we've been talking about extensively on this program is this idea of critical race theory. Behind critical race theory is the idea that there are no such thing as individuals, that everything is racist, that we should get rid of science and math because they are nothing more than white constructs trying to reinforce the power of the Western patriarchy. Now, let me say that again. That's actually something that children are learning across the country. So people are asking me, Charlie, what do we do? Well, I saw this article on NBC News, and one of my friends in Texas sent this to me. And the article is so deceivingly written. In fact, to an untrained eye, it almost seems as if the bad guys won in Texas. This is in Southlake, Texas. Great people there. I've been there a couple times. Where it says, in a bitterly divided election in Southlake, Texas, opponents of anti-racism education win big. Huh. Opponents of anti-racism education. It's kind of a strange way to put it. What is anti-racism education? And that's the way that critical race theorists describe their sinister, bigoted, racist ideology that cares about skin color and not on values or character or the spirit of human beings. But I'm just thrilled to report to you today that in this local election, the people that stood for traditional American values won with over 70% of the vote. The contest was not close, NBC News says. Candidates backed by the conservative Southlake Families PAC won every race by about 70 to 30%, including for those two school board positions, two city council seats, and mayor. More than 9,000 voters cast ballots, three times as many in similar contests in the past. So people say, Charlie, what do we do? This is what you do. You go circle your municipal races, and you go send a clear message of what you stand for, why you believe what you believe, and the people are with you. And in Texas, which has become a new battleground, there was a question of, are the people that have the big BLM signs outside of their home, are they the majority? No. Instead, 70% of people in Southlake, Texas, rose up on a Saturday, more than 9,000 ballots cast, three times, by the way, as many in similar contests in the past, where they said, we are not going to have our children learn to hate their country and hate themselves. This is a remarkable story to tell, a positive chapter. And so the question is, will this begin to spread across the country? And I sure hope so. We're starting to see parents and families get so disgusted with the curriculum that their children are learning. And the people are with us. It says here, the voters have come together in record-breaking numbers to restore unity. By a landslide vote, they don't want racially divisive critical race theory taught to their children or forced on their teachers. Voters agreed with my positive vision of our community and future, is what Smith said, one of the people that ran for office. She was a prominent Southlake lawyer who clerked for Clarence Thomas and Samuel Alito, who defeated Ed Hernandez, a business consultant, to win a seat on the Carroll School Board. This is what needs to happen. Parents need to rise up and they need to say, we are not going to have our children learn an anti-American philosophy, a bigoted just against the ethos of everything we care about. So this is what you do. You go and take terrain. And this is a very good sign, everybody, of what's to come in 2022. That there is going to be a referendum in 2022, albeit if we can actually fix our elections in our country. And we're going to have an Arizona update momentarily, which is very important, of what's happening in the Arizona audit. But there will be a referendum that is beyond politics. There will be a referendum on what sort of values and morals do we want communicated and passed down to our children. So we have elections for a reason. And this right here is a little bit of a litmus test. What do the people of Southlake feel about this? Well, with triple the turnout, in a landslide fashion, 70% of the people that showed up said, we still believe in America and we reject this sinister, racially motivated curriculum being pushed forward by this guy, Ed Hernandez. I think that's his name. You have that power. And the more we are able to put points on the board and take back terrain and show why we believe what we believe, That's how we are going to win. Another great story is in the 6th Congressional District. Susan Wright and Jake Elsley advanced to a runoff in Texas's 6th District, where Trump only won that district by 3 points in 2020, and two Republicans advanced to the runoff, and the Democrats got clobbered in the special election. We are starting to see the leading indicators that 2022 is going to be an awful year for Democrats. We're starting to see that for every action, there will be an equal and opposite reaction. But it starts on the local level. It starts in towns like Southlake, Texas, where people who love their country rise up and say, we're not going to take it anymore.
Did you know that 80% of the grass-fed beef sold in the United States is imported from overseas? It's staggering. That's why I get my meat from GoodRanchers.com, because their product is 100% American. When you buy your steak and chicken from Good Ranchers, not only are you getting amazing meat, but you're also supporting American farms. My friends at Good Ranchers have traveled the United States and met with actual farmers that raise the livestock to ensure the product they are sending to your table is the very best. All the product is individually wrapped and it eliminates waste. GoodRanchers.com safely delivers American craft beef, better than organic chicken, right to your door. Buy one time, or better yet, subscribe. Check out the Family Fest Bundle. If you subscribe, you will save 20% with each purchase. Subscribing brings the cost per meal down to just $2.38 per meal. That includes steak, chicken, and more. Stop trying to play the grocery store guessing game. Know where your meat comes from with GoodRanchers.com. Support American farmers. Go to GoodRanchers.com to get $20 off and free express shipping. 100% American beef and chicken. Chicken is always 100% all natural. No antibiotics ever, no hormones added ever. Better than organic, individually wrapped, vacuum sealed, and ready to go. And don't forget, you're always get free express shipping. Safe and convenient way to shop. Go to goodranchers.com/Charlie. GoodRanchersNS.com/Charlie.
Why is it important to fight against the woke industrial complex? We've talked quite a lot about how Dwight D. Eisenhower warned against the military industrial complex. But now this sinister belief is at the highest levels of our government. It's even in the Central Intelligence Agency. Listen and watch to this clip that shows that wokeism, this is a recruiting advertisement. Play take.
I can wax eloquent on complex legal issues in English while also belting Guayaquil de mis amores in Spanish. I can change a diaper with one hand and console a crying toddler with the other. I am a woman of color. I am a mom. I am a cisgender millennial who's been diagnosed with generalized anxiety disorder. I am intersectional, but my existence is not a box-checking exercise. I am a walking declaration, a woman whose inflection does not rise at the end of her sentences, suggesting that a question has been asked. I did not sneak into CIA. My employment was not and is not the result of a fluke or slip through the cracks. I earned my way in, and I earned my way up the ranks of this organization. I am educated, qualified, and competent, and sometimes I struggle. I struggle feeling like I could do more, be more to my two sons, and I struggle leaving the office when I feel there's so much more to do. I used to struggle with imposter syndrome, but at 36, I refuse to internalize misguided patriarchal ideas of what a woman can or should be.
Misguided patriarchal ideas, and she's a cisgender. There's so much. By the way, that's not that what you just listened to was not a recruitment video for Wellesley College. That was not a recruitment video for University of California, Berkeley. That's a recruitment video for the Central Intelligence Agency. That's a recruitment video for the most powerful apparatus of surveillance in our entire government. And she says the misguided beliefs of our patriarchy. Oh, okay. Well, yeah, let's give her the ability to go spy on everyone. Surplant governments. It's everywhere. What starts on college campuses does not stay on college campuses. It grows. Goes to the halls of Congress, goes to corporate boardrooms, and even into the Central Intelligence Agency. Now, why is that something that conservatives have such a hard time fighting against? How did this happen in 5 years or less? If that video would have come out 10 years ago, when Barack Obama was president, this would have been a scandal like Solyndra. It happened because we are not a country of laws. We are a country of political will. Everything that is possible is now defined by the Overton window. The Overton window being a spectrum of which ideas operate on, from impossible and unthinkable to popular and public policy. It goes on that continuum. Julian Assange, regardless of your opinion of him, said it the best. We are living in a mediaocracy where what is politically possible is defined by the media environment, by what happens and what we are seeing is defined by the people that are speaking to you and to your children. So when you hear this Central Intelligence Agency recruiting advertisement from a woman that says she's a cisgender Latinx person and that she tries to push back against the misguided patriarchy, how did that happen? What happened a long time ago, 5 years ago, because things happen quicker because of technology, when people who love their country and conservatives were not focused on the ideas that seemed they were on the fringe, and they ever so gradually got into the mainstream. Cut 9.
Noam Chomsky in The Common Good wrote that the smart way to keep people passive and obedient is to strictly limit the spectrum of acceptable opinion, but to allow very lively debate within a narrow section of that spectrum. We live in a mediaocracy. What is politically possible is defined by the media environment.
Limit the spectrum of which you are able to debate ideas. And now he's quoting Noam Chomsky, who's actually a communist and a professor at University of Arizona. But he's right that whatever is politically possible is only that which the people in charge, the elites, find it favorable to their own agenda. So why would the CIA actually care about wokeism?
Look, by now you've all heard me talk about MyPillow and how Mike has done it again by introducing his My Slippers. Mike Lindell, he's got a lot of ambition. He's a patriot. He loves his country. A lot of people like Mike Lindell. In fact, I get emails from people. They say, Charlie, how can I help you? How can I help Mike Lindell? How can I help the country? Well, if you go to MyPillow.com and buy anything with the promo code Kirk, it helps both of us. That's right. Maybe you want to go buy the MyPillow slippers. They're beautiful slippers. Maybe you want to buy the MyPillow. MyPillow slippers are so comfortable that you want to get some for the whole family. So go to MyPillow.com and click on the radio listener square and use promo code Kirk. You'll also get deep discounts on MyPillow products, including the Giza Dream bedsheets, the MyPillow mattress toppers, and MyPillow towel sets. Or call 800-875-0425 and use promo code Kirk.
So why does the CIA care about critical race theory? What could possibly be the motives of a radical group of people that want to push forward these ideas? Well, the brilliance of critical race theory and wokeism, as it is, it's one of the few ideas ever introduced to America that is popular and also self-destructive, meaning that instead of actually having to destroy anything, the people who end up believing critical race theory do it for you. What do I mean by that? Well, for example, if you can get white upper middle class families believing that they are inherently racist, they will deconstruct the society for you because they've been convinced that their mere existence is not just a threat, but it is a scourge on society. And so we played the clip of the CIA trying to recruit people in just a very radical, almost like an infomercial, as if this was someone that was trying to recruit people to come to the University of Boston, not to the Central Intelligence Agency. But quite honestly, what's the difference? The CIA hires college graduates from the most elite and woke universities across the country. You think they're going to just not have those ideas any longer? Why do you think Coca-Cola and Delta are acting like Democrat super PACs? It's because for the last 5 years, they've been hiring people that have gone to college, and we've sent way too many people to college in our country. And they have those radical activistic ideas, And then they employ them against the CEO of Delta or the CEO of Coca-Cola, James Quincy and Ed Bastian, or even the head of the Central Intelligence Agency. Now, we're fighting back against this. And we talked earlier about how in Southlake, Texas, critical race theory was put on defense, that conservatives were playing offense. But we predicted this. This is the next counter move. So people like Nicole Hannah-Jones, who is a bigot, she has said that she wants critical race theory taught in basically every single school across the country. She wants the 1619 Project to be the norm, the widely accepted curriculum in our nation. And so rule number four in Saul Alinsky's Rules for Radicals is something that the left does so unbelievably well. Now, if you don't know who Saul Alinsky is, Saul Alinsky was a community activist and an author. He is the person that Hillary Clinton wrote her senior thesis about. Saul Alinsky wrote a famous book called Rules for Radicals. It got very popular and famous in the Obama era because this is and continues to be the playbook of the American left, of the new left. In fact, Saul Alinsky was a mentor of Barack Obama. Rules for Radicals is dedicated to somebody. Rules for Radicals is dedicated to Lucifer, who, according to Saul Alinsky, was the first ever radical, rebel, I should say. Saul Alinsky was someone who was focused on training young communists and socialists on how to overtake the country. So he created this book, Rules for Radicals, a pragmatic primer for realistic radicals. We've talked about this a lot on our program, but it's important to repeat it. So Nicole Hannah-Jones is a staff writer for the New York Times. She might as well be Nathan Bedford Forrest. She might as well be John C. Calhoun, for her beliefs on race are so backwards, so dangerous, and so immoral. But her new way now to try and push back against what is happening, because she knows that the people aren't on her side, she preemptively strikes the American people with BLM Incorporated, 1619 Project, and billions of dollars, and now people are waking up. And logical and rational people and programs like ours are starting to inform you, and people are starting to say, no, I don't want the 1619 Project. But, oh, they have a counter move. Rule number four. Make the enemy live up to its own book of rules. Play tape.
Because this is fundamentally a free speech issue. If you look at the rhetoric of Senator McConnell and of state legislators all across the country that are trying to get bills passed to prohibit the teaching of the 1619 Project, it's not about the facts of history. It's about trying to prohibit the teaching of ideas that they don't like.
Ah, you see now the left, they are big ambassadors of free speech. You see, when convenient, all of a sudden we now have to be lectured on cable television from the very people that deploy the Antifa forces that nearly prevented me from speaking at beautiful Westgate Chapel at Alec Rowland's church or at Pastor DJ's church at House Ministries up in Snohomish, Washington. No, now they are ambassadors of free speech. They don't believe in freedom of speech. No, what they're doing is brilliant, and it's so predictable. We've talked about this on our program. Is the moment that all of a sudden they get the pushback, go, quote, this is Saul Alinsky, make the enemy live up to its own book of rules, number four. So now all of a sudden conservatives are going to be a little bit disarmed. Yeah, maybe we do believe in freedom of speech. Maybe we should allow this to happen. Now, of course, we believe in freedom of speech, obviously. I'm not calling for Nicole Hannah-Jones to be taken off television or taken out of decent society for holding those ideas. But an educational environment, of course, you're going to be selective in what ideas you allow and what ideas you don't allow. For example, if someone all of a sudden introduced in a school board saying, you know, what we need is Margaret Sanger eugenics to be taught in schools across the country, many parents would rightly rise up and say, no, we do not want our children to be taught about Margaret Sanger's eugenics as fact. Now, would that be them hating freedom of speech? Of course not. That would instead being selective, focused, and precise in the ideas that they want instilled into their children. Education comes from a Latin word to lead forth. If we are not leading forth our children correctly, then the nation will self-destruct. But this is now where they're going to go with this, that any pushback that comes against critical race theory or the woke industrial complex, they'll say, oh, I thought you guys were all for freedom of speech. And of course we are. We believe that the woke industrial complex and all these ideas should be given a fair hearing constitutionally and governmentally. But when it comes to the passing down of values and ideas and morals to our children, excuse me when I'm going to be somewhat selective when ideas that are not just close, but they are extensions of the same sort of ideology that the Civil Rights Act repudiated and pushed back against. Let's go to the next cut here. You want to just see the type of activists our universities are creating, the type of people that then go to lead our corporations. Cut four, University of Minnesota Student Association leader Lauren Myers saying that you should call police officers with fake complaints to make their lives awful, annoy them, use up their resources, and make their officers show up to something. Cut four.
You say disrupt UMPD. What exactly do you mean by that?
Make their lives hell. Annoy the shit out of them.
Okay.
I'm saying, what are they over? Do we know? I don't know if Amy, you know, if Morgan, you mentioned stuff with UMPD. Like, use up their resources, make their officers show up to something.
So that's a student government leader who's saying that activists at the University of Minnesota should use their time, their energy to try and misdirect police officers. Don't, you know, of course, don't go after the rapists or the murderers or the drug traffickers. Instead, she wants to create false events to deploy and direct police assets away from things that are actually happening in the local community. This is a trend that has happened on campuses for years. And cut 15, you see Representative Jayapal, who responded to James Carville's statement, where James Carville came out and said, we got to stop it with this wokeness. And Representative Jayapal responded with a mountain of gibberish, quite honestly. Cut 15.
Yeah, well, I'm a person of color and I identify with people of color. I think we have to listen to people of color across the country who certainly like us to use the words Black, Brown, Latinx, Indigenous. I mean, these are words that mean something to those of us that are in these communities. And I think that it is important that we continue to use clear language. But Latinx is a term that is very important to a lot of Latinos.
Well, look, let me tell you this. We just had a Young Latino Leadership Summit in Phoenix, and they do not like the term Latinx. That is a term created by upper middle class white liberals that are trying to socially engineer the country. But Representative Jayapal leads with something that's very interesting. What is the relevance that you're a person of color? What exactly does that mean? I would like to have someone explain to me why that matters at all. Are you a better person? Do you think you deserve something? Are we trying to, is there some sort of belief that you're oppressed? Is that why you lead with that? She says that, well, we want to use words like Black, Brown, Latinx, and Indigenous. Well, how about words like decent, good, honest, courageous, hardworking, industrious, daring, bold? Wouldn't that be a better way to describe human beings instead of being so tribally basic? As, you know, we want to, as the Democrat Party, be the people that organize you based on the melanin content in your skin. That's basically her argument. And it all ties together because rule number 8 at Rules for Radicals is keep the pressure on. This is where they are. Keeping the pressure on all of us. But the fact that they are now adjusting, which is making the enemy live up to its own book of rules, shows that they know these ideas are unpopular, which is why James Carville is saying that. It's why Representative Jayapal, in a mountain of gibberish, has to try to justify this. The people are with us. And if we stay on this and focused, we are going to win.
A few decades ago, private citizens used to be that. Private citizens. What's changed?
the internet. Think about everything you've browsed, searched for, watched, or tweeted. Now imagine all of that data being crawled through, collected, and aggregated by third parties into a permanent public record, your record. Having your life exposed for others to see was once something only celebrities worried about. But in an era where everyone is online, everyone is a public figure. To keep my data private when I go online, I always turn on ExpressVPN. Did you know that there are hundreds of data brokers out there whose sole business is to buy and sell your data? The worst part is they don't have to tell you who they're selling it to or get your consent. One of the data points is your IP address. Data harvesters use your IP address to uniquely identify you and your location. But with ExpressVPN, my connection gets rerouted through an encrypted server, and my IP address is masked. Every time I turn on ExpressVPN, I'm given a random IP address shared by other ExpressVPN customers. That makes it more difficult for third parties to identify me and harvest my data. And the best part is how ExpressVPN, how easy it is to use, no matter what device you're on, phone or laptop, maybe a smart TV. So if you're like me and you believe that your data is your business, go to expressvpn.com/Charlie and get 3 extra months free, expressvpn.com/Charlie. Go to expressvpn.com/Charlie.
As I travel the country, I'm taking questions. I do at least 30 to 45 minutes, sometimes even an hour of questions from the audience. I love hearing from the grassroots. I think it's one of the reasons why our program is growing so quickly. I get this. I got to tell you, I have a secret weapon here on the Charlie Kirk Show. And we talk about this a lot. I have a window into the collective wisdom of millions of people. It's our email, freedom@charliekirk.com. We get some wacky stuff every so often. But my goodness, we get some awesome, wise pieces of commentary of people that just email us their thoughts and what they're reading, what they're seeing. I personally love it and I enjoy it. And the number one piece of feedback we receive right now from the questions across the country and in our email, freedom@charliekirk.com, is, Charlie, what is going on in Arizona and are we going to fix our elections? It's the number one piece of feedback. In fact, yesterday at the House Church, a man with an orange hat said, Charlie, I and so many others believe that our elections are broken and we may never vote again. By the way, I don't think that's a good idea. I don't. But I do believe that we need to get to the bottom of what happened, especially when it came to voter registration and mail-in balloting. And the audit is a great place to start. Let's play cut 16.
In the November 2020 election, there were 2,595,272 eligible voters to vote, and there were 2,089,563 who voted. And we're going to verify every damn one of them.
Verify every single one of them. That is the former Arizona Secretary of State, Ken Bennett, who is the state Senate audit liaison. So they're going to start to get even more aggressive with this audit. They're going to start knocking on doors. They're going to start verifying identities. Now, Sidney McCain and others are thinking this is a waste of time. And I'm not even going to comment on Sidney McCain or John McCain in general. I'm going to comment on the sentiment of this, because I think it's a really important point to push back against. Cut three. Sidney McCain calls the GOP-backed audit in Arizona ludicrous. Do we have cut three? Play tape.
Oh, listen, the whole thing is ludicrous. Quite frankly, it's ludicrous. The election is over. Biden won. I know many of them don't like the outcome, but, you know, elections have consequences. And so I this does not surprise me. Things are just aloof and crazy.
And so, look, Sidney McCain wanted Joe Biden to win. She was in favor of Joe Biden. Arizona is traditionally a Republican state. There are more registered Republicans than Democrats in Arizona. So wouldn't Sidney McCain be in favor of getting to the bottom of how much that she believes Joe Biden won by? Wouldn't it be one of the greatest, most public displays of humiliation if after this audit, she's able to prove that there was nothing wrong, everything was perfect and seamless, no irregularities? Wouldn't that only be more demoralizing to Republicans and a shot in the arm for Democrats? They realize that they won in historic fashion. Why is it that the Democrats are so concerned every single time there is any sort of effort to try to restore election integrity? Why is it that they don't want the facts that are just impartial and should be able to point you to an objective conclusion? Why is that? Now, you could come up with your own answer there. Sidney McCain calls this ludicrous. But I can tell you that when they start knocking on doors and looking at ballots and doing signature verification, I know plenty of people in Arizona that got ballots they didn't request. I know plenty of people in Arizona that had voting centers changed all throughout the state of Arizona, especially in Maricopa County. Why is it that Arizona took a week and a half to count all of its ballots? These are legitimate questions that are worthy of answers. And for anyone out there that is concerned about election integrity, this is the forefront of that fight in Arizona. And again, I want to reiterate what was just said, saying that we will verify every single last vote. When you have a deluge of mail-in ballots, when you have a historic amount of people voting by mail with new and last-minute voter registrations, and you don't even look into it at all, people are not going to trust the system, and they won't trust the system the leaders puts in place. So we're going to keep a very, very close eye on that.
Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us your thoughts, freedom@charliekirk.com, and get involved with Turning Point USA today at tpusa.com. God bless you guys. Speak to you soon.